All right, I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles tonight to the book of 1 Peter, please. 1 Peter and chapter number 1. 1 Peter and chapter number 1 in the Word of God tonight. I want to read one verse, and then I'm going to let you be pray and let you be seated, and we'll bring the message God's laid on my heart for tonight. Peter, 1 Peter and chapter number 1. The Bible said, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And may the Lord add His blessing to that word. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful, Lord, for the good singing that we've enjoyed tonight, the good fellowship, the good spirit. I'm grateful and thankful for it in my heart. I pray that You'll bless tonight as I do my best to preach the Word of God. Thank You, Lord, for giving me this thought, this message. I pray You'll bless it to the hearts of Your people. Make me a blessing tonight. I pray that sinners will come to Christ and God's people would be revived and strengthened and helped and blessed. I pray that every home that's represented in this building tonight would depart from this place having greater joy in serving God than they had when they came. And I pray tonight, Lord, that You'd get glory and honor unto Yourself. Provide liberty in the house of God we need tonight to preach. And Father, we'll thank You and praise You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. I want to read that verse one more time. The Bible said, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. I preached to you several times in recent weeks on the life of the apostle Peter. I've tried to do my best to preach some things concerning the character of Peter and then certain events in his life. We've been able to take a look at his of his failures and his triumphs. And earlier, as we began through the book itself, we was able to look at Peter's commission, the fact that he was an apostle. He was one sent of God. And he was sent to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia and Asia and Bithynia. And I want to call our attention tonight, if the Lord being my helper, to that word where it says, to the strangers. I preached on the writer, and now I want to try to bring you a thought tonight, if I can, on those that Peter was writing to, or those that this book represents. And that is to the strange strangers that were scattered throughout these regions in the Word of God. And preach for a little while, if God would help me, on the thought of the life of a stranger. The life of a stranger. That's what these are called in this verse that have been scattered throughout these various regions in the Bible times. They're called strangers. And I want to preach for a little while if the Lord would help me on that. Now, the word stranger here does not mean those who were scattered abroad by the persecution as represented in James chapter 1 and verse 1. If you've read that book, he preaches to those that are scattered abroad. And James is writing to those that were scattered abroad because of persecution. And that took place, by the way, in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 8. The Bible said, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. But that's not what this word means here in 1 Peter. It's more intended for those that's mentioned in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 13. Where the Bible says there, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed, now get this, that they were strangers and pilgrims upon the earth. That is, they were sojourners upon the earth. And so I think that I can rightly say, and rightly divide the Bible, and say, that when Peter was writing this, those strangers scattered abroad, could even be could mean you and I today that are saved by the grace of God, that we are strangers indeed. And those that were strangers, the Bible said three things about them in that verse that I just read. that they saw the promises of God. They all died in faith, not having received the promises. But the Bible said they saw the promises of God. You and I have yet to receive all the promises that God has for us. But by the eye of faith and the Word of God, we see those promises afar off. I just read today and closed out the book of the Revelation, and how my heart leaped for joy as I read about that heavenly mansion that God has prepared for those that love Him. Oh, what a beautiful place, church, we're going to. And I'll tell you, my heart leaped for joy when I read about that heavenly place that God has provided for those of us that have been saved by the grace of God. Now, I've never seen heaven. Paul was caught up into the third heaven and saw things that were unlawful for a man to speak about. That's why I know this crowd today that talks about dying and going to heaven and seeing heaven and coming back. They're talking off the top of their head, because God just doesn't work that way. God does not show us things on the other side literally, but it is with the eye of faith. Thank God He's given you and I faith to see those promises afar off. Hey, and by the way, that is our blessed hope tonight, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, that is one thing that motivates us tonight, is the fact that we're strangers in this land here below. We're only sojourning. This land is not my home, ladies and gentlemen, nor yours if you're saved. We're only passing through. By the grace of God, we've been birthed into the family of God, and we're strangers upon this earth. And we see those promises of God afar off. And then the Bible said that they were persuaded about those promises. I wonder tonight if we're really persuaded in our heart concerning the promises that are recorded in this Bible. Boy, I'll tell you, if a man is persuaded that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, that it will cause that man to purify himself, even as Christ is pure, knowing that someday we're going to have to stand before Him and give an account of ourselves and the works that have been done in this body. But thanks be unto God. I'm telling you, I'm persuaded about everything that's in the Word of God. Brother George asked me tonight, said in the book of the Revelation where it says if a man adds to this book, God will add to him the plagues of this book. Or if he takes away from this book, God will take away his part out of this book. He said, is that talking about Revelation or any book in the Bible? Well, I think literally it's talking about the book of the Revelation. But I think that in general, it also refers to the entire Word of God. You know, the Bible was penknifed in Jeremiah's day, and God found no pleasure in that wicked king that took a penknife and cut out what he did not like out of the Bible. But I'm telling you, we've got Baptists today that'll cut out parts out of the Bible that they don't like. Amen. Come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. We'll cut out what we don't like, and what we do like, we'll rejoice over it. But I'm telling you, we got to take it all, the bitter herbs with the spices, and I am persuaded of every promise in that Bible. I'm persuaded of every jot and tittle in that Bible that it will be fulfilled, even as God has said that it will be fulfilled. And we're seeing Bible fulfillment before our very eyes, taking place over in the Middle East tonight. And I'll tell you, it ought to cause every born-again child of God in here to lift up our eyes, because our redemption is drawing nigh. And if you're here tonight lost, I'll tell you, it ought to drive you to an old-fashioned altar where you can get saved by the grace of God, knowing that the days upon this earth are numbered days, ladies and gentlemen, and they're just about ready to run their course. You can mark that down. And then it said that they embraced those promises. They hugged them. They drew them up close to their heart. John 3:16 is a pretty good verse to embrace. Amen. Hold on to it. Draw it up close to your heart. I tell you, Galatians 2:20 is a good verse to embrace. Hold it up close to your heart and embrace that. There's all kind of promises in that Bible. And the Bible said they saw them afar off. They were persuaded of them. And then that they embraced them, but they had not received them all as of yet, because they were strangers upon this earth. Now, I want to confess to you that the longer I live, the stranger this world seems to me. I don't want to step on any toes tonight, but I'm telling you, the music that I hear in this world is strange. The dress apparel that I see in this world is strange. That is absolutely right. The conduct and character that I see in people today is strange indeed. I am a stranger in this world, and the longer I live and the older I get, the stranger things seem to me. Buddy, I just do not feel at home in this world anymore. There is a tug on my heart that is pulling me up into that third heaven, even behind the veil where our forerunner hath entered in for us. And I've got an anchor there that is steadfast and sure. I'm telling you, if you feel at home and comfortable in the world that we're living in, you need to get saved by the grace of God. There's nothing here for a Christian. Heartaches and sorrows, temptations and troubles, anguish of spirit and soul. I'm telling you, family problems, physical problems, financial problems. I'm telling you, wars and rumors of wars and deaths and corruption and vice and ungodliness and sin on every corner. I'm telling you, if you feel at home here, you got a real problem tonight. Brother, I don't feel at home where I'm going. Folks don't go to Walmart, and ladies don't let their breasts hang out. Where I'm going, boys don't wear breeches hanging down over their hind end. Where I'm going, folks don't put tattoos all over their whole body. They've got one mark, and it's on their forehead, and it says, a child of God. Amen and amen. I don't feel at home. You may feel it comfortable around here, but buddy, I don't feel at home. Hey, that's why some of you guys don't feel it comfortable on the job where you work. Because there's sin there. Thank God we've been saved by the grace of God. God has delivered us from the power of sin, the penalty of sin, and He ought to be delivering us from the pleasures of sin. And someday, He's going to deliver us from the very presence of sin, and that ought to make us happy. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I'm a stranger in this land. And I hope I appear to be somewhat peculiar or strange to unconverted worldlings. I'd hate to think tonight that I fit in with that crowd that's out there. I feel like a round plug in a square hole, or a square plug in a round hole. They just won't fit, ladies and gentlemen. You can call me square, old-fashioned, old-timey, whatever you want to call me. But I got in the old-fashioned way, and bless your heart, I am an old-time Christian. I am an old-time Baptist. I didn't get read in 1, 2, 3. I got birthed in by the power of the Holy Ghost of God. I'm talking about I got converted genuinely, born again by the grace of God, sealed with the Holy Ghost into the day of redemption, and God's put a song in my heart, even praise upon my mouth to our God that loved me and died upon Calvary to save me by His wonderful grace. Now, is anybody going to help me? Surely you don't feel good in this world. I hope not. But what kind of a life now is the life of a stranger? Peter is writing to those strangers in those places that I mentioned, in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. But what is the life of a stranger? May I say, and it's very simple tonight. Very simple. May I say to you that it is a life of faith. The Bible says repeatedly 4 times that the just shall live by faith. By the way, and Brother Paul said in the book of Hebrews, if any man draw back, my soul shall find no pleasure in that man. I'm telling you, the life of a stranger is a life of faith. I see that great truth in the life of a man by the name of Abraham. The Bible said by faith. Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed And he went out not knowing whither he went. Hey, he had faith in the calling of God. I'm going to say tonight that I've been called out. Thanks. We used to play that song. They don't play it much anymore around here. Called out. Thank God we've been called out. But I tell you, I've got faith in my call. I'm not talking about my call to preach. I'm talking about my call out of sin and out of this world. God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, ladies and gentlemen. Called him out of the world. And he had faith in that call. And God, the Bible said that Abraham, because of the faith that he had in the call of God, obeyed the word of God and went out from that place looking for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. Now, what you got called in your faith, or is your mind filled up with doubts? Are you filled your mind full of confusion and doubts tonight about whether you've ever really heard that divine call? I'm telling you, it was as clear to me when God called me, ladies and gentlemen, as my audible voice is to you tonight. When God heard that name, Gary, make no mistake about it. He calls his sheep by name. Amen. Now, I didn't hear an audible voice, but I'm telling you, down in the recesses of my soul, I heard the call of God in my heart, and God called me out. And I'm not turning back. Brother Mark, there's nothing to go back there to. Thank God I've been called out of the world. I've crossed the Red Sea, wandered through the wilderness, made my way to the Jordan River, crossed over on the other side, and I'm camping in Canaan tonight. And by the grace of God, I'm a going to heaven one of these days in the near future. Why? Because I'm a stranger. I'm a stranger. You're a stranger tonight. You have faith in your call. Has God really called you out? Huh? Come on now, don't nobody leave me. Don't turn me off. I'm talking about a life of faith. Abraham, by faith, went out to a place that he should have to receive for an inheritance. He obeyed. And he went out and get this, not knowing whither he went. He left not knowing where it was going. But he had enough faith in his captain. Woo! Come on in the house. He didn't just have faith in the call. He had faith in the captain of his salvation that had called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. I'm glad tonight that I'm like Joshua, that I have got a captain tonight. He is my leader. My fire leader, thanks be unto God that the captain of our salvation was made perfect by the sufferings that he went through. Hallelujah to God. And I am glad tonight that I've got faith in my Lord Jesus Christ. And why don't you have faith in him? Somebody said, preacher, the world's reeling and rocking. Let her rock and roll, buddy, all night long. Let her reel and rock. Now, I said that, I didn't mean that musically. I meant that literally. Let her roll and rock on her axis tonight. I'm sheltered in the everlasting arms of God. I've got faith in my Lord Jesus Christ tonight. I am persuaded that he that hath called me is fully able, ladies and gentlemen, to perform that which he has begun in my heart until the day of redemption when our bodies are redeemed out of the dust of the earth. Amen. I've got faith in my call. Yes, sir. I've got faith in my captain. Amen. The Lord Jesus. He's led me through waters deep. He's led us through trials and temptations along the way. But I got to say to you tonight, out of every one of them, he's delivered me. Amen. I've not fought with wild beasts at Ephesus like Paul did. I've not spent a day and a night in the deep like Paul did. No, I'm not, but I have been in perils of my countrymen. I have been in perils by robbers. I have been in perils by church members. Amen. And I'm telling you, out of every one of them, my leader, my captain, my file leader has led me through them all and delivered me through them all. Why shouldn't I trust him now? Oh, I seen him, Brother Doug, when he called me out by name. Out of the world of sin. I put my faith in him then. And I've followed him all these years, and he's not one time let me down. Why shouldn't I have faith in him now? Oh yes, he that led me out will lead me in one of these days by the grace of God. I want you to have faith in that. That your captain that called you out or led you out will lead you in. He is the shepherd of the sheep. Amen. And the sheep hear his voice and they follow him. And he'll bring them out, what the Bible said, but he'll also lead them in. Now I'm telling you, just as sure as he has led you out, there's coming a day. Whoop! Hallelujah! He's going to lead you in because he is the captain of our salvation, what Paul said in the book of Hebrews. He is the fire leader. He is the point man, ladies and gentlemen. I walked in my office today and I sat down behind that desk and I looked over across the way sitting on that little credenza. And there I saw that 8.5 by 11 of Philip Dale Joslin. And my mind went back to the 31st day of October 1966 in the Republic of South Vietnam in the Phan Thiet province, moving along a dry riverbed up above that riverbed with one of the platoons out of AK Alpha Company, 1st, 2nd Battalion, 7th Cavalry. And Philip Dale Joslin was our point man. And I followed along right behind him with three prisoners behind me and Lieutenant Drake to my right, to the right of me. And Sergeant Guy Bird over to the left of me. We patrolled that with about 32 men. Encountered all them punji stakes. My mind went back to those punji stakes and how we tried to pick our way through those things and how they were so thick. And then all of a sudden that loud roar that I can still wake up in the middle of the night sometimes. You hear that loud roar and that boom going off and watching those boys, the lieutenant fall and those boys fall and Philip Joslin, Philip Dale falling back in my arms and looking over his shoulder and asking for a cigarette. And Philip Dale lay there amongst those punji stakes in South Vietnam and died 3 feet in front of me. He was our point man. If you've ever been in the infantry, you ought to... Hey, some of you have not. But I'm telling you, there's a point man that takes the lead, and he's the man that's in all the danger. If there's fire opens up, he's going to be the first one to catch the fire. If there's a booby trap, he'll be the one that'll get the booby trap. Now I'm telling you that day, old Philip Dale Joslin was a point man, and his life was lost, but thank God, 3 feet behind him, my life was spared. I want to report to you that I've got a greater point man than Philip Dale, for there was a man by the name of Jesus that walked up on Calvary's Hill, ladies and gentlemen, and became our point man, our file leader and our captain, and it was there that he took what should have been hours and he laid down his life that you and I might be saved by the grace of God. Thank God I've got faith in the call. Thank God I've got faith in the captain as well. He's our file leader. He took your load. My load. What should have been ours. We should have been crucified. But our captain that called us out will surely lead us in someday. I want to ask you tonight, you got faith in your call? Got faith in your captain? Now I want to ask, hey, if he willingly suffered that for you, that Bible said, how shall he not by him also freely give us all things? I wish I'd get as happy as old Merman Kate did the other night. Get a little of that whoop, whoop, whoop. Hallelujah. And get you as happy as what I was when he got happy. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the strangers living a life of faith. Faith in their call. We're called out. Faith in our captain. Hallelujah. Here, listen to what else he says. He said, by faith, he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country. There it is. In the land of promise is a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the promise, of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, I'm about to lose a verse here I don't want to lose on. About to lose a verse no one. No, I've already mentioned that. I'm not going to mention that. But look here. Not only faith in the call, not only faith in the captain, but old Abraham had faith in the city. The Bible said that he looked for a city that had foundations, whose builder and whose maker was God. Now I'm going to tell you something. I can't help but to believe in the book of the Revelation when the Bible said, "Now John beheld the new Jerusalem descending out of heaven as a bride, adorned, prepared as a bride, adorned for a husband." I can't help but to think that Jesus hollered over and said, "Hey, Abraham, here's what you had faith in. It's coming down out of heaven as a bride adorned for a husband." I believe old Abraham said, "Glory to God, the promise you made of finding a city has become not only a reality to the saints of God on the earth, but it's a reality to those that have walked through the veil and gone on to be with our God." Hallelujah. You've got faith in that city tonight? If I could sing it, I'd sing "Pearly White City." John saw that pearly white city. Woo! 12 gates, every gate of several pearl, one pearl. Had the name of the 12 tribes on every gate. Set on 12 foundations, had the names of the 12 apostles on the foundation. And John said, that city that old Abraham put faith in 4,000 years ago, I have seen it, and I testify to you that heaven is a reality. Do we tonight really have faith in our call, in our captain, and in the city that God prepared for those that love Him? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I shall come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's what's going to be heaven for us. We're going to be with Jesus. Hallelujah. There'll be no sun there, no moon there. He'll be the light of it. There'll be no temple, because He'll be the temple Himself. What a wonderful place. No pain, no sorrow, no heartache, no headaches, no diseases, no sin. Ain't it a wonderful thought tonight? And promise. Now that's one of the promises that he embraced and was persuaded of. I want to ask you something tonight. Are you persuaded of it? Do you embrace it? Hallelujah. I do. This life that we live as a stranger is a life of faith. I want to say, secondly, I don't want to let any air out of your bags, but I'm going to have to let a little wind out of all of our sails right here. May I say that a stranger's life is not only a life of faith, but it's a life of failures. I want to say something to you tonight. You're going to fail. You might as well get a hold of that fact in life that somewhere down the line you're going to fail. I have failed and you failed. And if Jesus doesn't come probably before morning, I'll fail again somewhere. And so will you. It's a life of failure. Somebody said, "I can't stand failure." Oh, but the faith can overcome the failures. And grace can give us what we need to stand when we fail, and realize if we fail, we've not fallen yet. But if we do fall, even though we fall 7 times, Jesus will lift us up again. Is anybody listening to me tonight? A life of failures. I want you to listen to this. If you think you're the only one that's ever failed, get a hold of this. David was brought from rags to riches, and he failed God. God called him as a little old ruddy-faced boy out of the sheepcote. And David himself, and made him king over all Israel. And David even said himself, "Who am I that a king would die for? Who am I," said, "that God would bless in such a manner?" May I say tonight, He hadn't made you king over Israel, but God's given some of you blessings that you can't even see. You're so blind. God has helped some of you and blessed you with blessings, and you're so blind you can't even see them.
Amen. Amen.
That's right. Amen. David was brought from rags to riches, made a king from a little old sheep herder, freckled face, ruddy boy, to a king. And yet he went to bed with a strange woman and sinned against God. Oh, that's not all. Solomon was given wisdom and wealth, and he failed God. Somebody said, "Oh, if I had all the money I needed, if I could just be wise and had all the money, I'd make her through life with a breeze." Solomon had it all. He had the wisdom and he had the wealth, and he still failed God. I'm telling you that it is a life of failure that we're living. Here's where the rubber meets the road. When you fail, are you able to bounce back and recover from the failure and go on and serve God? That's where the rubber meets the road. It's not in failing, it's bouncing back from our failures and going on serving God. Amen. Baptists is kind of like rubber balls. If we're saved with the grace of God, Satan may fling us out there away, but sure enough, we're going to hit some kind of an object and bounce right back.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus will see to it.
Amen.
So don't think if God made you wealthy or give you position or give you power that you would have her made in the shade, friend. Don't work that way.
That's right.
David was brought from rags to riches and he failed God. Solomon was brought, he was given. Given because he asked. He was given from God wisdom and wealth. And yet he failed God in that he loved and had many wives. And he tried everything under the sun. He said, "It's all vanity." Is anybody listening? May I say that Samson had recognition and revival, and he failed God. Come on now, listen to me. Everybody listen. He had recognition. Hey, the Philistines knew who Samson was, buddy.
That's right.
And he fought 1,000 of them with the jawbone of an ass and come near to fainting, and God clave a hollow place and that jawbone water come out and he drank. And the Bible said his spirit came again and revived. He had recognition. Everybody knew who Samson was. Mighty Samson had recognition and he had revival, but he failed God. Oh, I'd love to see revival come, but I'm telling you that revival is no guarantee that we won't somewhere down the road after revival yet fail God in our Christian life. And I'm telling you, I'm glad I serve a God that looks beyond my faults and my failures. He knows my weaknesses and my woes and my heartaches and yours too. And in spite of all of us, God still loves us with an unquenchable love, an undying love. God loves you tonight if you're one of His children beyond your comprehending. I'll assure you of that. Hallelujah. I want to ask you, where are we failing God? Where do we fail God tonight? I'll pin down 5 little points here. I'll run right through them real fast because I got one more point. In this life of failures, may I say to you that we fail God in our time. We spend more time doing frivolous things when we could be investing our time in God. Revival said, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. You know what I'm telling you? One of the famous Baptist quotes, "I don't have time." If you don't have time, can you get a hold of this? When you run out of time, you're going to be in the grave, friend. You've got 24 hours a day. What are you doing with it for God? Oh, Brother Hall, I'd love to be there in the meeting, but I just don't have time. I got something else to do. Oh, Brother Hall, I'd like to help, but I don't have the time. I'd like to cook a meal, but I don't have the time. I'd like to come to prayer meeting, but I don't have time. Oh, friend, I'm going to tell you one of these days, you that are killing time, time will kill you. And while you have time, you better invest your time in God. If there's one place we're failing God, it's in our time. And everybody knows the second one, in our talents. God help somebody that is gifted and won't use that gift for God.
Amen.
Well, I'd like to do this, preacher. And I know I can, but I don't have time. See, time and talents go hand in hand. You got to have, you got a talent, you got to take time to use that talent. Oh, I can't do this, preacher. I can't do that, preacher. I asked some of you to come and just sit in a pew for a couple of hours, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Just sit. That's all I asked you to do, was just sit. And for, I guess apparently you didn't have time just to come and sit. While others came and sat and worked and labored and cooked, some of you didn't even have time to come and sit. Time and talents. We're wasting them. Now, and you're going to laugh at me when I say this. But one of the most talented men for singing this world has ever known was a man that lived in Memphis, Tennessee by the name of Elvis Presley. You can say what you want to say. Elvis had a voice. I don't care. It was ungodly music he played, but that man, God give him a voice and a talent to sing. And there was a time when he sang with Christian groups, so-called, quote-unquote, and sang gospel music. And I believe he had a grandmother who was an old Pentecostal lady and told him, Elvis said, you need to go to church. But them big promoters came down and said, all you've got to do, Elvis, is sign on this dotted line and we'll get you on the Ed Sullivan Show and we'll make a man out of you, boy, that the whole world will idolize. And they did. They idolized Elvis, but Elvis in hell when he could have used his talent for God, he used it for the devil, and he's in hell tonight.
Amen. Amen.
What about your time and your talent? You got time for God? If you don't have time for God, there'll come a time when God won't have time for you. Boy, it's got quiet. Brother Hall got to meddling. May I say we failed him in our talk. What do you mean talk, Brother Hall? When was the last time you talked to somebody about their soul? When was the last time we really talked to a sinner and told him about Jesus? Oh, we're in the last days, bro. I don't give a flip what days we're in. Sinners are still dying and going to hell. And we don't have the time because we claim we don't have the talent to talk to nobody, and they're going to hell because of it. I'll hurry along. Failing God not only in our time and our talents and our talk, but our temperance. Somebody said, what do you mean, John? I'm talking about forbearance. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Do you know what that word forbearing means? Do you know what the word temperance means? It means to forbear. It means to be able to bear with people when they're wrong, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The Spirit is always in unity, but there's not always peace in every church. Paul said that we ought to be able to forbear with one another. That is, come on in the house now. That is, we ought to be able to overlook one another's faults and failures and our personality clashes. We ought to be able to forbear one another just because somebody is not exactly like you are. That don't always make them wrong.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I mean, there's some of you folks in here that you come to church and you're quiet as a church mouse. And I won't mention no names but one, my daughter-in-law. Angie sits there as quiet as a church mouse, but she's faithful. And that don't mean that she's got a bit less than Brother Joel Gray had jumping in pews the other night. Are you listening to me? It's like Brother Allen said when he done the T-Berry Shuffle down there. He said, that don't mean that I'm spiritual, but it don't mean it ain't.
Right.
Brother Gray jumping in pews don't mean he's spiritual, but don't mean he ain't.
Amen.
And Angie's sitting there listening to me preach, being quiet, humble, with a meek spirit. And she's not putting it on the house of God. She's that way everywhere. That's her. Now that don't mean she's not spiritual. Don't mean she's spiritual, but don't mean she ain't. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Hope you don't mind me using that. You know, Richard loves you, sweetheart. I'd buy the buzzsaw for you. I believe I could with it. I got on the scales last night and weighed 185 pounds, boy. Growing up, Brother Billy. No, I'm growing out, Brother Billy. I'm telling you, I went to get my old trousers that I always wear to Mexico to the meeting down there. No way, Jose, bud. Them birds went upstairs on the boys' rack. Told Miss Hall, I said, something's got to give. And she said, I know it, your belly. I walked in there and said, on the other day, Brother Steve said, preacher, God, I'm growing up. I'll be a man one of these days, boys. I told Brother Nolan that last night on the phone. He said, gee whiz, preacher. He said, man, I got to see you. I want to see this. All right. We're missing it in our talent, time and talents and talk and temperance. And I believe we're missing it in the temple. We're failing God in the temple. We really come to church to worship God, to praise God, and to fellowship with Him. And I'll go on to the last point because my time's run out and I'm tired. I want to say not only a life of faith and a life of failures, but I'll try to close with this. A life that is fading. I'm telling you, folks, she's going by quick.
Yes, sir.
Them fellas, these two guys is trying to ride me high. They ain't fooling me. We're sitting in there today talking about the Jubilee, and one of the two of them said, we start the Jubilee on your 60th birthday. It don't seem like I'm 60. Say, where is it gone? Time is fleeting by. This life of a stranger is a life that is very rapidly fading into the sunset, ladies and gentlemen. I'm living in the days of sunset. The sun is going down in my life as I watch it come up in these little kids' lives. That quick, and it'll go down in their life as well. Bible says in James 4, 13 and 14, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, I will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Job said in Job 7:7, oh, remember that my life is wind. My life is just wind. And it's gone. I want to say to you, you know what I got out of that? He's saying our life is so short you can't even see it. When's the last time you've seen wind, friend? Our life is like wind. I mean, it no sooner hits here till it's gone down there. What is our life? It's just a vapor. It appears for a little while. It's gone. Now here's where it counts. What do we do from sun up to sundown. That's what matters. What are we going to do with God from sunup to sundown? What are you going to do with your life from sunup to sundown? Are you going to live it fully? Are you going to live it abundantly? Or are you going, to live for God? Or are you going to live for the world and the devil? I want to say to you tonight, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Either serve God, if He be God, or serve the gods on the other side of the river. But stop straddling the fence. God be God, serve Him. Now, what are we ought to be doing with what few little bit of time we have? May I say we ought to live it heartily unto the Lord. Paul said in Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Serve it heartily. In other words, put your heart into it. I want you something. Your Christian life, are you putting your whole heart into it? I mean everything you got. Oh, I'm trying to help the church. My heart goes out to some of you. Are you really putting your all and all into Jesus and serving God tonight? All that you do heartily as unto the Lord, for He is our reward. Or are we just piddle-faddling around? Are we giving it all of our heart? Or are we half-timing it? Quarter-timing it?
Right.
Then I want to say, live it happily unto the Lord.
Amen.
Medicine man. Somebody said, preacher, what do you mean? 1 Peter 4:4, if you be reproached for Christ's sake, happy are you.
Amen.
You happy tonight? Proverbs 15:15, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast.
Amen.
You living happy tonight? Life's too short, folks, to go through life defeated and down in the mully grubs. Man, God come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. And He wants you to have it more abundantly. He wants you to be happy in your life. And I'm telling you, it is too short of a life to always live defeated and discouraged, downcast and downtrodden. Be happy. Then I'm closing with this. Live it holy unto the Lord. For He said in 1 Peter 1:16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So we don't have much time. Sun up for me was on October the 3rd, 1946. And only God knows when sun sets. And I wasted many, many years on the devil and the world and sin. But in 1978, God changed my life completely. And I'm telling you, I have spent all the years since that day. Soon will be 28 years. I'm talking about sold out, dedicated. Now, I'm not talking about being saved. I'm talking about sold out, dedicated to God. And it just seems like yesterday that the sun came up. And today I'm looking into the western sky. My sun is slowly setting into the sunset. And there will come a day that I'll be like Pilate. And they tried to get him to change what was written on Jesus' cross. He said, what I've written, I've written. And there will come a day that what I've written, I've written. How many of you in here heard the story of Solomon's peace? There was an old English preacher. He said, told his family, said, I want a tombstone, set my tombstone, I want to write on the epitaph, my own epitaph on that tombstone. His name was Reverend Solomon Pease. And he engraved on his own tombstone. He said, under this sky and beneath these trees lies the shell of Solomon Pease. Pease not here, only the pod. For Pease shelled out and went to God.
Amen.
That's what I'm going to do on these days.
Yes,
I'm going to shell out and go to God. And I'm going to take all y'all with me. I want you to live that life of faith as a stranger in this land that we're living in. Let's stand together.